Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
And then there were 31. 29 Democratic senators are lined up in support of gay marriage in the New York State Legislature. That's everyone but Ruben Diaz of the Bronx. And one by one, Governor Cuomo is picking up the votes needed to get the 32-vote majority to pass the same-sex marriage bill that he officially introduced yesterday. First Republican James Alesi said he would change his vote, the first Republican to go. And then late yesterday, Saratoga Senator Roy McDonald pledged to also support the measure. And did you see McDonald's rant, as tweeted by a New York Times reporter and quoted in today's paper? He said, quote, "F it. I don't care what you think. I'm trying to do the right thing. I'm tired of Republican-Democrat politics. I'm tired of blowhard radio people, blowhard television people, blowhard newspapers. I won't take it personally. They can take the job and shove it. I come from a blue-collar background. I'm trying to do the right thing. And that's where I'm going with this." Wow. Now, not to be out-ranted, Archbishop Timothy Dolan weighed in on the bill. He said, "God, not Albany, has settled the definition of marriage a long time ago. Last time I consulted an atlas, it is clear we are living in New York, in the United States of America, not in China or North Korea," unquote, from Archbishop Timothy Dolan. Now, for what it's worth, go ahead and Google gay marriage North Korea or gay marriage China. It's not like they're only one vote shy of legalization over there, if you know what I mean. But the question of Albany's role in legalizing same-sex marriage still stands and still elicits strong reactions on either side. Joining us now is WNYC reporter Elsa Chang. She's in Albany talking to the legislators involved and is now standing outside the room where the Republican caucus from the Senate is having a meeting about this issue. Hey, Elsa. Hello back from here at the studio.
Hi there. I actually was getting no cell phone reception right outside the room, so I'm now in the press room on a landline talking to you.
Great. Pure accuracy from Elsa Chang. Nothing but accuracy, precision. Also with us is Casey Seiler, state editor with the Albany Times Union. He's been watching the story, too, and we'll also chat with him about the looming midnight deadline for rent regulation legislation and how it's tied to the property tax cap bill. Casey, welcome to WNYC.
Thanks for having me on. Great to be here.
So, Elsa, here's a little bit more of Senator McDonald during a slightly calmer moment. He's not calling anyone in the media a blowhard here. Take a listen.
Well, I think there's a realization in our country and our state. When you get to a state that's between 19 and 20 million people and as diverse as New York State is, you know, in a big metropolitan in the New York City area, there's a realization that the country has changed and that the state has changed and that we have to look for things that we have in common as opposed to things that we don't have in common. So we work together. We're just going to have to put up with each other, even though we have different things in mind.
All right. So the latest Republican to come to the yes side on gay marriage, Roy McDonald of the Saratoga area. Elsa, what's going on in that Republican caucus room? Are they going to come out and say, done deal, any minute, and then they're going to go and vote on same-sex marriage before lunch?
Have been so poker-faced. I mean, it's an absolute zoo in the hallway. You know, there's a short list of Republican senators that are sort of on the watch list for everybody that are maybes. Mark Grisanti, Greg Ball, Andrew Lanza. All of them just blew by not giving any comment, with the exception of Greg Ball. He didn't comment directly to us, but his spokespeople have passed out an official statement. And right now, Greg Ball says he's an absolute no unless he gets very specific language changes in the current bill. Greg Ball, from day one, has always said that he would definitely consider voting yes on gay marriage as long as he gets strong religious carve-outs in the bill. Now, the current bill allows for religious organizations to refuse to perform marriage ceremonies. It also allows religious and benevolent organizations to refuse to rent out their premises for the performance of same-sex marriages. But this new language that Greg Ball is passing out is he would like any house of worship, individual or business with religious objections, or any tax-exempt organizations, he would like each of those entities to be able to refuse to allow their property or services to be used for any function or purpose to which they object or have their tax-exempt status challenged or removed because of failure to permit usage of their property for same-sex ceremonies. So it's pretty expansive. He's also been on record saying he's very concerned about adoption services run by religious organizations. He doesn't think that those types of adoption services should be forced to grant adoptions to gay couples. But there is an entirely separate law that governs adoptions in the state of New York. So this gay marriage law that passes just wouldn't apply to adoptions.
Casey, that's a very broad set of opt-outs. We had the governor of Connecticut on last hour, Dan Malloy, and he was describing how in Connecticut they do have a religious institution opt-out so that, you know, no church or other religious organization that doesn't want to would be forced to perform a gay marriage. But that list that Elsa just ran down of the kind of institutions right. that wouldn't have to support it in other ways, is that too broad for the Democrats?
Well, the sticking point there is the idea that individuals would be able to, you know, refuse service. That would essentially mean that while the Knights of Columbus, which is seen as, you know, sort of a benevolent organization as being tied to the Catholic Church, might be able to refuse service to perhaps a very singular gay couple who wanted to have their reception at the Knights of Columbus Hall, Ball's language would allow just, you know, the guy who owns the neighborhood bowling alley who doesn't, you know, approve of homosexuality to turn down a gay couple that wanted to have their reception there as well. Constitutionally, that is a very, very heavy lift, and I can't believe that the advocates who have signed on to the protections that were included in the bill language that Governor Cuomo put forth yesterday would be able to sign on to that. What the advocates have said is that while, yes, there's more language providing those religious carve-outs in this bill, they are essentially reiterative of the sorts of less lengthy protections that have been in similar versions of this legislation that have passed the Assembly many times and was last up in the Senate in December 2009 when it was defeated by a wide margin.
So I'm wondering if you guys spent all day yesterday completely starstruck. I read that Sex and the City actress Cynthia Nixon and New York Rangers star Sean Avery were roaming the halls of the Capitol lobbying for
yes.
this bill. And here's Avery from yesterday afternoon.
There's a gentleman from Staten Island that I'm looking for today that I'd like to have a chat with and shore up a couple of votes.
And that gentleman from Staten Island, I presume, is State Senator Andrew Lanza.
That's
Elsa,
right.
Is he the one feeling the pressure now?
Well, he's one of a few, about a list of 3 to 5, depending on who you talk to, that's feeling the pressure. Lanza's a coy one. I was walking down the hallway just yesterday with Ruben Diaz Sr., who, like you said, is the lone holdout Democratic senator who will be a no vote on gay marriage. And I went up to Senator Lanza. I said, so are you going to vote for gay marriage or not? And he sort of smiled and said, well, when it comes to issues such as this, I usually side with the Reverend, meaning Senator Diaz. But then he was later quoted in the New York Times saying that even though he's a no vote now, he presumes that by the end of all of this, being a no vote may not be a good position to take, so he would have to think about it. But in the meantime, yes, he's being lobbied hard. Lanza told me that he starts getting text messages flooding into his phone starting at 6 a.m. It's been 24/7 for the past several days. He looks, frankly, wearied by it. All the senators on that short list look wearied by it. Mark Grisanti, Greg Ball, Stephen Salan, you know, when they blow past us to go into the conference room and without any comment, they just shove their way through the crowd. It's clear that they have been saying, you know, the same thing over and over again. Certainly Greg Ball has. He says he feels like he's been on repeat over and over again saying the same thing for days.
And I think that is what that's what you heard in the frustration from Senator McDonald yesterday. He was in our office. He actually told us for, you know, we're kind of his hometown paper, and
right.
he was
You're talking about
to
his rant about the scrutiny.
Right. And you know, in our office, his tone was very combative, and it was very much that kind of I'm sick up to here with being sort of at the point man for this issue, or one of the people who's been in the spotlight for so long on this, and he just said I'm going to vote my conscience on it, but he was clearly frustrated and clearly sick of being in that position. And I think he's probably, I'm sure he's getting a thunderstorm of reaction today. He certainly is on our blog. But at the same time, I think he's relieved that the attention now turns to Andrew Lanza and Greg Ball and the handful of other people.
One last question about same-sex marriage before we go on to some of these other high-stakes last-minute debates that are taking place at the end of this legislative session. There are 31 votes. I think that's everybody's count in favor. 31 times 2 equals 62, the total number of state senators. That's a tie, 31-31. Lieutenant Governor Duffy is sitting right there as a Democratic tiebreaker. If they need them under the state constitution, doesn't that mean they already have the votes to pass this thing, Elsa?
No. As far as I understand, the lieutenant governor can only break ties for procedural votes. For a substantive piece of law like this, it would be a tie. And, in fact, there were lobbyists out there in the hallway today for New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedoms. That's an evangelical organization lobbying against gay marriage. Dwayne Motley of that organization says, in an upbeat way, he thinks it's going to come down to 31-31, and he thinks that the Republicans are conferencing right now to see if that is indeed the vote, and if it is, they will not bring the bill to the floor. Of course, he's a lobbyist, and I guess you would expect him to say something like that.
I guess they're just waiting for enough Republicans to say they will be willing to vote yes, so that not McDonald or Lanza has to be singled out and live with this through the next election cycle, right? If they get three or four or five in the Republican caucus coming out of that room, perhaps any time now, then is that really what it's all about at this point?
That's the general belief, that no one Republican wants to go on record as having been the one that makes same-sex marriage legal. So if it does pass, people are expecting a small cushion of about 2 to 3 votes by the time the bill passes. Mm-hmm.
And by the way, folks, as we keep our eye on gay marriage legislation, the WNYC newsroom is looking for people who are planning on getting married if the gay marriage bill passes. So you can go to wnyc.org/insight. to tell your story as part of our Public Insight Network. That's wnyc.org/insight. And I can tell you that on this show, on the day that it passes or the day after it passes, if it's the next morning, we will invite your on-air marriage proposals. So get ready for that. It looks like it is probably coming sometime this week. WNYC's Elsa Chang. All right, back to staking out that caucus room.
All right. Thank you.
And if they come out with anything by 12 o'clock, call us back, okay?
I sure will.
All right. Thanks a lot. And we are still with Casey Seiler from the Albany Times Union. And, Casey, let's switch gears to what we know is a looming deadline, property taxes and New York City and Yonkers rent stabilization laws. Tonight at midnight is when that law expires, the rent stabilization laws. Democrats want to strengthen the bill, that is, strengthen the efforts to curb rent prices. They don't want landlords to be able to flip stabilized apartments to market rates as easily as they can do now when current tenants move out. Republicans want to simply extend the bill as is, so nobody's rent stabilized apartment is in jeopardy. We should point that out for anybody who gets nervous at even the mention of this. But whether it becomes easier to keep an apartment rent stabilized over time is at issue. And it's tied politically to the property tax cap that Governor Cuomo wants. So, Casey, where does this stand?
Yeah. Well, nowhere right now. It's quite clear that the Senate Republicans, led by Dean Skelos of Long Island, have put out bills that would simply extend current rent control. What the Assembly Speaker Sheldon Silver has said is that that is insufficient and that will not be enough to get him to move forward with the 2% property tax cap. Essentially, what you have here is a very canny move on Silver's part to, as you put it, intimately tie the property tax cap, which is very important in the suburbs, which means it's very important to Republicans who generally hail from those areas to get passed, whereas rent control is very important to downstate Democrats, and that's kind of the group that drives a lot of the proceedings in Silver's conference. So you've got the burbs faced off against the needs of renters, and Silver has basically said we're going to tie these two together so that the expiration of one is going to be matched with the expiration of the other. And so that puts Silver in the position of trying to extract the best deal he can on rent control without essentially giving up the farm or losing the property tax cap, which is important not only to him but to the governor as well. I should say rent control is important to the governor as well, but he has been kind of pulled along on that issue by the speaker in many ways. Initially, back at the beginning of the year, Governor Cuomo said that he did not think that the property tax cap and rent control should be linked, that was the Albany way to deal with these, to see these issues as linked. He has had something of a change of heart on that, and now is willing to agree to kind of see these issues as Siamese twins, as it mm-hmm. were. So one is not going to get resolved until the other is resolved, and so that means either by the end of this week or perhaps the first half of next week, we're going to be looking at the kind of flurry of last-minute activity that many lawmakers refer to as the big ugly.
Is there at least a commitment to extend the rent laws for a couple of days past the midnight tonight deadline so they can continue to negotiate without worrying about a few tenants who might fall through the cracks?
Yeah, Dean Skelos has said that is something that he'd be willing to do, that he kind of shrugs his shoulders and said, oh, sure, we can extend it, no big deal. And the governor has said that he would be willing to sign a sort of short-term extension. But Speaker Silver has said that would jeopardize, place at risk the negotiations on the property tax cap. So it's definitely a game of chicken. Pick your metaphor, Russian roulette, chicken. But that, of course, is the way things go in the last full week of the legislative session.
There is, I guess, technically, a very small number of tenants who could see their rents go up if there's an interim period of a couple of days before the renewal of the stabilized rent law, tenants whose leases expire within those next few days. If there happens to be anybody whose rent-stabilized lease runs out tomorrow and they don't renew the law until Friday, then there's one day with no rent stabilization law, and only if that lease runs out, in theory, a landlord could hike the rent to market rent, but we don't expect that to happen to any individual.
Yeah, and that would be, I can't imagine that landlords would see that as a very positive development either. That would essentially mean that, as you put it, a handful of landlords would be able to take advantage of this this brief window, or what might be a brief window. But
and if you have that kind of landlord, you should probably just move out anyway.
Oh, my goodness, yes, absolutely.
And if that does happen to anybody, please call us up, and we'll give it lots and lots of publicity.
Yeah, that would be a good story for somebody to pick up, without a doubt.
But it won't happen. But the property tax cap is Governor Cuomo's crown jewel in a way, right? His big olive branch to the suburbs, to upstate, because he's a Queens guy, to Republican concerns as well, as he tries to be an effective bridge builder. Yet he's having trouble really getting his own party in line on this. And we heard,
yeah. Specifically, the speaker, the speaker in the Democratic conference in the Assembly are big supporters of education and education advocates and unions, such as the New York State United Teachers, are big supporters of theirs financially and in terms of political action. And that's why it's been a heavy lift in the Assembly for years and years. It's been easier in the Senate, whether under Democratic or Republican control.
And how about the politics of Cuomo on this? We had, as I mentioned, the governor of Connecticut last hour, Dan Malloy, mm-hmm. Democratic governor. He spoke very specifically against the idea of a property tax cap. He said it's harmed local education in California and other states that have it. It takes local control away from citizens of you know, municipalities around the state that can vote up or down a school budget if they choose. We had former Governor Eliot Spitzer on the show yesterday, Democrat, obviously, and he opposed Governor Cuomo's tax cap for the same reason. And
New
you
York
know,
Times editorial board has inveighed against it as well.
Right. But, well, while you have Chris Christie doing something like this in New Jersey. So it's more of a Republican thing than a Democratic thing traditionally.
Traditionally, yes, but you have to remember the Democrats passed it in the last legislative session. It got through, but it was held up in the Assembly, and Governor Patterson, who wanted greater protections, probably wouldn't have signed it if it had come to his desk. But yeah, you're absolutely right. Education advocates will say it is a gimmick. It is undemocratic because under Cuomo's design, it would require a 60% supermajority for any tax increase over 2%. Education advocates say that it will exacerbate the discrepancy between rich districts and poor districts, because if you are essentially locking in a 2% annual rate of increase, if you've got a fat levy, it's going to continue getting fatter. If you've got a lean levy, it's going to grow at a much smaller rate year over year. And what the governor has said is that he understands that this is not the be-all and end-all, and that it needs to be followed by the battle for mandate relief, which will help school districts and municipalities
right.
in bringing down their costs.
Because
but that
ironically, it's things that the state mandates by law, like pension and health care laws, that increase the costs to the schools so quickly. And the state is telling them they can't increase their expenditures, but they're still putting the burden of those costs on them.
Right. But the way I was talking about it with a friend of mine the other day, and I ended up comparing it to the battle for the tax cap is like the invasion of Normandy, whereas mandate relief is going to be house-to-house fighting. Mm. It's fighting on many more fronts, smaller victories, smaller defeats, but it's a longer process with a much longer list of elements that need to be achieved. But what Cuomo has said is you need to have the kind of blunt instrument, you know, the 2x4 across the mule's backside to alert the districts and municipalities, or not alert them, but to essentially force them into the position and force people on both sides to the table to wrangle out mandate relief. Advocates say that there's going to be a lot of damage while that process is going on.
We'll see what happens on same-sex marriage, on property tax caps and the rent regulations, and more in the New York State Legislature as the day goes on, and probably as tomorrow and Friday go on before they adjourn. Casey Seiler, state editor with the Albany Times Union. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
And after a break, across the Hudson we go to preview a Chris Christie call-in airing tomorrow night with Steve Adubato, who will be conducting it for Channel 13. We'll also talk about the tentative deal for 13 to merge with NJN Television, in which Adubato would be central to New Jersey coverage. WNYC is also in a deal to acquire 4 northern New Jersey NJN radio stations. Stay with us.